I've got a series of questions that I want to ask you, as usually. And the title of today's topic is Faith or Feeling? You know, we've been blessed with emotions. It's a good thing that we can feel emotions most of the time. You know, I think our emotions directly represent the way our heart feels. Sometimes they do so in a manner that we wouldn't want them to. But we've been blessed with our emotions. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you follow your emotions and your feelings? You know, we hear things all the time like follow your heart and trust your instincts. People want to inspire others whenever they tell them that. To follow your heart, trust your instincts. You know, if you follow your heart, you're going to be on the right path. You're going to be doing what God wants you to do. If you trust your instincts, you'll be okay. But I think we can see throughout the scriptures that following our heart and trusting our instincts is not always the best thing that we can do. It's not always the most effective way to follow God. You know, I heard a story about a guy one time, and he walks out into his garage and he sees a rake that falls over on the ground. And he thinks to himself, well, I need to go out and I need to clean up the yard. I need to, you know, get everything together. You know, this is a sign that God's telling me to go out and clean the yard. And so he starts gathering up tools. And as he pulls away the shovel, he looks back. Well, there's his golf clubs. And he says, this is a sign that God wants me to go and play golf today. And so he goes and plays golf. You know, we take things that we see in our lives too literally sometimes. And I don't believe that God wanted that guy to go play golf or that he wanted him to clean up his yard. But that's the way he took it. He was following his emotions. His emotions were a figment of something that he wanted to do or something that he thought he needed to do. And he followed that because he saw the golf club, because he saw the yard tools. In Titus chapter 1 it says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. You know, people think they're on the right track when they're following their heart, when they're trusting their instincts. But the scriptures tell us that if we believe not into God, if we believe our mind and our conscience were defiled. Our mind and our conscience is something we cannot trust. Our mind and our conscience is something that is of this world, that is temporary. And we cannot base our faith off of our emotions. We cannot base our faith off of our feelings. It's a way to defile us. I want to read a couple stories here in the scriptures of people that I believe followed their heart. People that I believe let their emotions get the best of them. And in a way that harmed them. In Matthew chapter 19, we read about what we would call the rich young ruler. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, this guy says all these things he'd observed from his youth up. All these things he could check off if it was on a checklist. He'd done this, he'd done that, he'd done this. But he tells him one more thing, and for the sake of our story, that's irrelevant at the time. And he can't do it. It says he went away sorrowful. He was basing his faith off of his feelings, off of his emotions. We know it because it says he went away sorrowful. When he was supposed to trust in God, when he was supposed to trust on the Lord, he goes back to his feelings. Instead of obeying God, he falls back on sorrow. Instead of trusting in God. In Luke chapter 12, we read another, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know, we know that this man was leaning on his own thoughts, on his own emotions, on his own feelings. He's faced with a dilemma. What am I going to do with all this stuff? And he reverts to his thoughts, and he reverts to his emotions, and he reverts to his feelings. We know that because it says, "And I will say to my soul, soul." He has this stuff, and he doesn't go to God. He doesn't go to the Lord. He goes to himself. He thinks that he knows best. "I will say, here's what I'll do." And he thought up within his own emotions the things that he had that he knew better than God. You know, the word feelings or emotion or emotional is never found in the scriptures. We never can read about that. The word feeling I put in there is actually found in the scriptures twice in a couple different places. And in no place do we find in the scriptures where our feelings or our emotions should be our religious compass. Where they should be, something that we base our salvation off of. So I ask you, where do feelings come from? Where do they come from? You know, these people that we just read about, they focused on their earthly mind. They thought that they knew better. They wouldn't trust in the Lord. They had these feelings. Where do they come from? You know, I think it's something they thought up on their own. It says there, "I will say to my soul," he thought better. He reverted to his own thoughts. The rich young ruler reverted back to sorrow. Because he was basing it off of the things he had. It was things that were made up in his own thoughts. You know, in a way, we can think back to the story I told you earlier. You see the golf clubs, you want to go play golf. You see your stuff, you think about your stuff. And that's how you're going to act. But the scriptures tell us not to rely on our feelings. I think it boils down to the point that emotion and feelings, our thoughts, they all come from our heart. Emotion comes from men's heart. In 2 Kings, we read another story similar to what we have. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her, Mistress, would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus, and he said, Maid, that is of the land of Israel, and the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. See, Naaman was following all the instructions, if you will. Naaman was going where he was supposed to go, doing what he was supposed to do, until he reverted back to his thoughts, until he reverted back to his feelings, until he reverted back to his motions, and he says, behold, I thought. You see, Naaman had it all worked out in his head. He said, I'm going to go to this prophet, I'm going to go to Elisha, and he's going to tell me something to do from God, and you know, we'll see what it is. Well, then when he gets there, Elisha sends down a messenger and tells him something to do. And Naaman, he doesn't care for that. He was hoping for something bigger, I guess. He said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me. You know, he thought, I got this problem and God's just going to come down maybe. I don't know what he thought. He's going to come down and who knows. And maybe that's what the rich young ruler thought. Maybe thought, you know, Jesus, he's going to see all these things I have. And he's going to tell me what I need to do with them, or he's going to tell me how I should enjoy them. And instead, that's not what happened. You see, God's plan was much different than what the rich young ruler thought. God's plan was much different than what Naaman thought it was going to be. And because he thought, Naaman had these thoughts, and they just simply weren't what he thought they were going to be. Now, I think it's important to mention one thing. You know, we have these thoughts that we believe that God's going to do. We believe that God tells us to do things, possibly when you see the rake or whenever you see the golf clubs. You know, for Naaman, it was whenever he saw this messenger, he expected something different. But we have these thoughts, and I want to be clear that emotions or feelings, they might have honest intentions. You know, the guy who found his rake, he had good intentions to go clean up the yard. Naaman, whenever he had this leprosy, he had good intentions to go and fix it. I believe that the rich young ruler had good intentions whenever he started talking to God, or when he started talking to Christ. He had good intentions. That he was going to do great things. Instead, you know, these honest intentions, they harm us. We believe that God comes and he speaks to us with good intentions. But it's simply things that harm us. And I show that in Leviticus chapter 10, the first two verses there. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You know, I don't know. I suppose Nadab and Abihu had honest intentions. They were going in to worship God, after all. You see, God is very specific in the way that he wants us to worship him. He's very specific in what he wants us to do. And whenever we bring our own thoughts in, whenever we bring our own emotions and our feelings in, it's going to harm us. I don't have this in here, but I'd like for us to talk just a minute about Uzzah. As they were moving the ark, you know, I believe Uzzah had good intentions, don't you think? If you remember, they loaded up the ark and they hit a bump, or the ox stumbled, and here comes the ark. It's fallen over. And Uzzah reaches up his hand with good intentions, no doubt. No doubt he had good intentions to stop something bad from happening. They were on their own feelings, on their own emotions, on what they thought they ought to do. And out of Uzzah's good intentions, he was struck dead before the Lord, as Nadab and Abihu were here. You know, we have good intentions, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's what God wants us to do. We need to root ourselves in God's word rather than our own feelings. On a similar note, this is something that the older people might remember. I don't remember this. I was told about this. I believe this was sometime in the 70s. It started before then, around the 50s, and then grew and grew. And I believe in the mid-70s, is whenever this finally happened, you might have heard of Jim Jones. He was a cult leader. He had many people that followed him. He made them to believe that that he was a disciple of God and that he was telling them things that God had told him. And he had all these people following him. This is in California. And he talked 900 people into committing suicide on one day. He had 900 people drink this poison and they all killed themselves. And you feel bad for these people because I believe they had good intentions. Don't you think? I mean, I think they believed that they were following this guy who knew God, who was telling them the truth. And he's telling us we need to commit suicide. You know, I read on the internet that this was the second largest cause of death in the United States it was the largest until 9/11. It wasn't by natural causes. You think about how far your good intentions are going to get you. You know, there was 900 or so people who had good intentions who all died because of their good intentions. And it's because they followed their feelings, they followed their thoughts and their emotions rather than trusting in God's word. Instead of faith, they relied on feelings. Let's talk about faith for just a short minute or two. I think it's important to note that faith is something that is rooted in God's word, that is mentioned in the scripture over 600 times. Faith or a deviation of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I want to go back to the rich young ruler for just a moment. He had these possessions. These were things that he had seen. I asked, where do feelings come from? Where do our thoughts come from? You know, I believe with the rich young ruler, his thoughts and his feelings came from things he had seen. Came from things that were on the earth. Because after all, he was perfect in every way but one. And that he didn't want to give up his possessions. They were things that he wanted. They were things that he had seen. He was basing his feelings, his emotions, and his moral compass, his religious compass off of things he had seen. But we read here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we haven't seen. If you find yourself making actions off of things you've seen, that's not faith. If it's off of things you have here on the earth, that's not faith. Faith is of things we hope for. Faith is of things we haven't seen. And more importantly than anything, faith is something that comes from God's word. If you find yourself believing in your thoughts, believing that God's trying to tell you something based off of things you see, that's not faith. That's nowhere going to be found in God's word. What is found of faith comes from God's word. In Romans chapter 10 it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You want to have faith? Go to God's word. You want to obey God? Go to his word. In Acts chapter, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." I like this couple scriptures here because it said, God knowing the hearts. God knows our hearts. He knows that we need his word. He knows that we can't rely on things that we see. He knows that we can't rely on our thoughts and our feelings. So I've got another question for you this morning. Faith or feeling? You know, for the Christian, the choice seems pretty clear. Whether you want to rely on your faith or on your feelings. You can go through many stories throughout the scriptures and do exactly what we did this morning. You can read through the rich young ruler. You can read through Naaman. You can read through Uzzah. You can read through the story of Baal in 1 Kings. Many, many other stories. And you can read about these people and see if they base their faith off their feelings and their emotions, or if they base it off of the word of God. By how they react. By how the outcome was. So do you base your faith this morning off of your feelings and your thoughts, or do you base it off the Word of God? 2 Corinthians says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I've got another question for you. Are you willing to stake your salvation? Are you willing to stake your eternity based off of a feeling? You know, as I said, we have good intentions with our feelings. We have good intention many times with our thoughts. We have good intentions many times behind our emotions. But is it something that you're willing to stake your eternity on? You know, it doesn't seem worth it to me. It doesn't seem worth it to me to base your eternity off of the golf clubs that you find in the garage. Rather, we need to base our eternity. We need to stake our salvation, our eternity, on God's Word. Isaiah chapter 55 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my way or your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as much as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here in Isaiah it says, it talks about the wicked man in comparison and the unrighteous man in comparison because of his thoughts, because of his emotions, and because of his feelings. We become unrighteous. But he says not to lean on our ways, for his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Why would we base our eternity off of our own thoughts? You know, we mess up many times. There's a lot of things in life we think we ought to go do. We think we ought to go tell people. And then shortly after we realize we shouldn't have done that, or we shouldn't have said that. And so why would we base our eternity off of a feeling? Why would we base our eternity off of a thought or off of our emotions? You know, we can boil it down to one point. The heart is deceitful. And I've read this verse many times in lessons. In Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You know, the scriptures plainly tell us that we can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our heart. We can't trust our emotions. We can't trust our feelings. Because our feelings come from the heart, and our heart is something that is of the earth. Our heart is something that is surrounded by earthly things. We can't trust it. And I think we all know where this is going. The heart is only reliable when trusting God's word and doing his will. You know, I think it's important to note that we don't say the heart is only reliable when you trust God. And now don't twist my words there. But the heart is only reliable when you trust God's word. After all, that's all we have anymore, isn't it? That's all we have to base our salvation off of. That's all we have to base our eternity off of if we're not going to base it off of our emotions and our feelings and things that come from the earth. His word is all that we have. In Romans chapter 10 it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. It's a submission problem. It's an authority problem. We want to have salvation, we got to submit to God. We have to submit to his righteousness and not to our own thoughts. Jeremiah 29 says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. You know, I got to wonder, why do we cause our own dreams? And there's a scripture I'm going to read in just a moment that is going to explain that pretty clearly. We were sitting around yesterday evening talking about dreams and such, and they shouldn't have done that around me the morning before I spoke, because then I get ammo to come up here and tell stories that go perfectly with what I'm talking about. But I did get permission on this one. We were talking about dreams yesterday evening. I don't know how it come up. And Dad said he was... It was whenever he went to Nigeria for the first time. And they had traveled. He said, you know, you'd wake up. You didn't know where you were. It's dark in there. And a few of you might know Jerry Lowry from down in the College Park Church of Christ. He and Dad were staying in the same room the first night there. And he said Jerry asked him if he could play a fan noise, just a automated fan noise on his phone. He said, "I'm used to sleeping with a fan on at home." And he said, "It'll just help me go to sleep." And Dad said, "Well, yeah, that's fine." And he said, "In the middle of the night, I dreamed that Jerry was being chopped up by a fan." And he said, "I guess from hearing that," and he said, "I reached over there and I grabbed Jerry and I yanked his arm towards me. I was trying to pull him out of this fan." And he said, "Here in a little while, I went back to sleep." And he said, "I got up that morning." He said, "I didn't do that. I just dreamed that." And he said, Jerry woke up and he said, "What's wrong with you, man?" Pulling my arm in the middle of the night. And I think it can be summed up here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 3. It says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words." You know, we dream about things. We have these visions. We have these thoughts and emotions based on things we're thinking about. You know, the guy in the story I told you about, he was thinking about the yard. And when he saw the rake, he thought, "God's telling me to go clean up the yard." You know what? He was wanting to play golf. When he saw the golf clubs, he thought, "God wants me to go play golf." It's out of the busyness of our mind. When I was in high school, there was a show that was really popular about zombies. And when I was watching that show, I regularly had dreams about zombies. Very regularly. And I vividly remember one where I was driving down up this Caliche hill on a lawnmower, and there was hundreds of zombies behind me. And I was going as fast as I could to get away from these zombies. Well, God's not telling me anything about zombies. He's just, you know, it's just out of the busyness of my mind. It was what I was thinking about, I suppose. We cause our own dreams. We cause these own thoughts to enter our heads out of the busyness of our mind. It's just what we're thinking about. You know, when you have those thoughts that you need to go clean the yard, sure, go clean the yard, but it's not something God's telling us to do. So I go back to the heart is only reliable when trusting God, God's word, and doing His will. And I know that the golf thing's a silly example, but you think about those people in that people's temple I showed you about earlier. We have good intentions. It's just that if we're not trusting God, our intentions are in vain. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." We have to trust God's word and do His will. In closing this morning, I want to tell another story or two. In Luke chapter 18, it says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" Think about these two men that were here. You know, they both believed that they were doing God's will. They both, in their own thoughts, thought that they were doing right by God, although one of them wasn't. He was trusting in his thoughts rather than his faith. You know, you think about this publican who humbled himself before the Lord. And then this Pharisee who, going to his own emotions and going to his own feelings, felt like he was, you know, some kind of big dude, felt that he was higher than the publican, felt that he was right in the sight of God, but he was trusting in his own feelings. He was trusting in his own emotions. You know, I think this is pretty relatable to us today. You know, we can trust in our emotions in a bunch of different ways. Maybe it's just as the Pharisee did. Maybe it's just as the rich young ruler did, or Naaman did, or Uzzah did. Maybe it's as those people did in California 30 years ago. We can trust in our emotions in many different ways, and they will always, always lead us contrary to God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So this morning in closing, I want to urge you to establish yourself in God's Word. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your emotions. The heart above anything else is deceitful. Our earthly mind above anything is going to lead us away from God. Lean not unto your own understanding. And as we just read in 2 Corinthians, cast down things that are contrary to God's Word. And lean to God's Word. Whenever you have questions about your salvation, lean in God's Word. Folks, eternity is not worth betting on a feeling or betting on a thought or leaving up to me. I tell people all the time, if I was a caveman, we'd still be working on the wheel. I can't trust my own thought. I can't trust my own mind. But I can trust in God's Word. I can trust in the Lord, because His Word is divine. You know, think about Jesus Christ for just a moment. We read about Jesus before He goes to be crucified. And He says, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, Jesus didn't have these thoughts like the rich young ruler, or Naaman, or any of these people we've read about. He follows it up with, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, Lord. You know, when you're faced with something, put your trust in the Lord. You know, if there's anybody we can take that lesson from, take it from Christ. He was faced with the same things that Naaman was, that Uzzah was, that the rich young ruler was. But whenever he was faced with that, he trusted in God. He put his faith in the Lord. We must put our faith in the Lord this morning.